Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Fenway Rundown Mass Lives Red Sox podcast. I'm your host, Chris Cotillo, joined as I frequently am by Chris Smith, my co-beat writer at Mass Live. And we have, at the same time, a lot to cover and very little to cover because baseball is still locked out as we record this on March 3rd. Pretty disappointing that we are in this boat and that we're not in Fort Myers watching Chris, peruse the grocery store aisles and come up with dinner meals that you would never expect a human being to eat during the course of spring training. But instead, we are both at our respective homes in Massachusetts in between Florida trips. I actually went down last week. Chris is going down this weekend. We'll get into that. But first, the big news of the week. For the second time in 3 years, Major League Baseball is going to have a shortened season. So far, only 6 games have been canceled, the first 2 series for the Red Sox. That's 3 against the Rays and 3 against the Orioles at home. I know people said it's a sad day for baseball. I think that's pretty obvious. People are blaming mostly Rob Manfred and the owners. But, Chris, I know you've covered a lot since you've been covering baseball in the last few years. And just what are your overall thoughts and were you expecting we get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if it was going to delay the season, but I knew that it was going to be, I knew that it was going to delay spring training, I felt like, at the beginning. And, it's just been, obviously, the Players Association wasn't aggressive the last time. They didn't put a good deal in place. We saw that between the qualified free agent system with giving up a draft pick and stuff like that, and even giving up 2 draft picks in some instances, if you go over CBT levels. And also, we saw how bad free agency was in recent years, where it was just, it was just dead for the first couple of months. And, when I started covering the Red Sox, that hot stove, things got started in late November and they really picked up in December. I remember one of the first years I worked for Mass Live, the Red Sox signed, David Price in early December. That's right. Just the way things happened.
The Chris Sale trade was early December, right?
Yeah. That was at the winter meetings, and Thornburg was also part of that day. And so, things happened, and the last couple winter meetings I've been to, and we didn't go, there wasn't one last year, wasn't a couple there now. It's just felt like nothing's happening. There's just like talk and nothing's happening. It feels like the GM meetings in a way now. And so something needed to be done. They needed to be, negotiate something. I think they talk about meaningful change here. They could have settled gotten a little bit and then brought it up again in 4 years.
Yep.
Or they could have delayed the season, or they could have, decided to not accept and have the owners delay the season. And that's what happened.
That sounds like you maybe more than others blame the players here, or is that not what you're trying to say?
No, I don't blame the players. But they did agree to a deal that they probably shouldn't have the last time.
Well, I think they're trying to make up for like 3 bad CBAs all in one fell swoop here. And that's not going to happen.
There was no time. I remember I was in, I think it was actually, it was right. It was the eventful trip, I think, in 2016, where, we went to the GM meetings and Donald Trump was elected president and they agreed to a CBA that I think.
I remember I was at He's Not Here that night. So,
and
same thing, basically.
What's that?
Basically, yeah. You were at the GM meetings. I was at a bar in Chapel Hill. So we were both working hard.
I remember that and it was just like, here's the CBA, we've agreed to a new CBA. And they gave us all like a little like outline of what it was like and stuff like that. And it didn't seem like any of a big deal, back then. And then all of a sudden it was like, I think we agreed to, some bad stuff here. The taxes, for going over the threshold, and that's preventing, owners from spending money and signing free agents and the whole qualified draft pick thing where you give up draft picks and all that. And, that's preventing, guys that were on the fence on a qualifying offer, getting a deal right away, So, there was a lot. So I'm not blaming the players, but could they have done better the last time? Could they have done better the 2 times before that? Yeah, maybe.
I think that, it's so tough to actually know you know, what the truth is in these negotiations, or the truth is on who's stalling here, because the players are coming out and they're blaming the league. And I think, you know, there's so many players that are going on social media and telling different stories. You know, we saw Ross Stripling from the Blue Jays and Lance McCullers from the Astros and all these, you know, Scherzer and Andrew Miller. And, you know, there's a lot of very notable players coming out and blasting the league, and players are blasting Manfred. And, you know, fans are fans of the players first, you know, instead of the owners or the commissioner. And so I think fans are looking at that and they're, you know, very, very anti-league, very pro-player. You know, I think my guess is that the real blame probably lands a little bit closer to the middle than we'd know, just because, you know, the union's going to be blaming the league. The league's going to be, you know, blaming the union. I do think that the optics of Rob Manfred's press conference the other day in Jupiter were horrible. You know, the golf swing, not that someone with like a 40 handicap like myself can criticize anybody's golf swing at any point, but, you know, just doing that and getting a picture taken of that in the middle of those meetings was a horrible look. And then, you know, laughing and smiling at the beginning, middle, and the end, I thought was, you know, not a huge deal, but definitely inappropriate considering kind of it was a somber day, you know, objectively for baseball. So, you know, just a bad situation. As we sit here on Thursday, I guess Dan Halem and Bruce Meyer are both meeting in New York informally to talk about, I guess, the next steps. But we're deadlocked now. I'll ask you two questions before we kind of start talking about my Florida trip, your Florida trip, and why we're going down there when there's not much going on. But first of all, when do you think in your heart of hearts the season is going to start? I got some very interesting odds. The odds that Bet Online gave us were a little bit scary. The over-under on total MLB games being played is 120.5. So that's like basically a little bit more than a month canceled. When will the regular season start? April was 11-2, May 7-4, June 2-1, July or later 5-2, and no regular season 5-1, which means that there is a better chance that there is no regular season than games starting in April, according to the fine folks in Vegas. What do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I think April is wiped out. That's my opinion. You know, once that deal wasn't struck, I mean, what are they, you know, like things are going to go slow again. I like they just spent 10 days or 9 days, whatever it was, like actually face-to-face person, you know, face-to-face both sides. And they made like no progress until the final 2 days. Right. I'm just stunned that, you know, and as I said, when they decided to do these meetings, I tweeted out, I'm like, I could have told you they should have done this on December 1st, you know, met face-to-face every day.
It was like
day.
Something like 43, 44 days where they didn't talk to start.
So it feels like in that way, they never want like, one of the sides never wanted a season to start on time. And I would guess that would be the owners.
Right. There's a lot of talk about TV deals and rebates and those types of things that are starting to leak out now.
Yeah. So I don't see anything happening until at least like a season starting until at least May.
And for a Red Sox team that obviously we don't know what the final roster is going to look like. It's so impossible to think about like, does a shortened season help this team or does it hurt them? Because I think the teams with good starting pitching depth, I think, are the ones that are built to last. I actually think the Red Sox have that now, and that's going to matter less the fewer games that happen. You know, as of now, though, it hurts to lose, I guess, 3 games at home against the Orioles, which you, if you're going to circle on a calendar, wins. I know it's a very simplistic Mike and Mad Dog way of doing things, but, you know, that is probably, you know, games you don't want to lose, obviously. The Rays, that's a tough matchup to start the season. The other thing that I just want to bring up, looking at the schedule, what is the rationale between the Rays and the Red Sox being scheduled to play at Fenway and not the Trop on March 31st?
There is none. I mean, well, that's ridiculous.
Really, that is
that's actually insane. Like, it's our job and it's important for us to work, you know, I mean, we need to work and everything, but that's actually one of the benefits of, you know, that we don't have to sit in, you know, 30, 40 degree temperatures covering a game when it should be in Florida. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right. If things are starting the next week, which they probably won't, then it's, April 7th, opening day at Yankee Stadium, outdoor press box. So pick your poison there.
I mean, when it's at Yankee Stadium at that time of year, I'm in the back room.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't have a seat for you because you're not well-known enough. That's not true. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Florida, which I just went down. You're going down in a couple of days. My trip was very eventful, I would say, for going down to spring training when spring training's not going on. Decided to explore Fort Myers for a couple of days. It was supposed to be a 2-day trip. Had a lot of travel issues. It ended up being a 7-day trip, which allowed me to go check out Jupiter and be there for some of the negotiations outside, staring through the fence on Monday. But in Fort Myers, kind of an interesting dichotomy of what's actually going on there. At Fenway South, at JetBlue Park, up until this weekend, it is closed to the public, except you can go in the team store or you can pay $10 for a tour, which I did. I think I saw the back of Chaim Bloom's head, but nobody's talking. The media is not allowed in. You know, there's a lot of people that were, it was February vacation week. There's a lot of people that were down there from New England for vacation, and, you know, they had planned to go for spring training, and obviously that was ruined, which is kind of sad. The tour was kind of exactly what you'd expect the tour to be. They were gearing up for nothing. All the stadium workers were basically all saying, you know, these guys really need to get their stuff together because we're getting sick of this. And I'm sure the Fort Myers economy is suffering as well. Day two of the trip, a little bit more interesting, went to Florida Gulf Coast University, where the Red Sox, six of their pitchers and maybe more be joining them in the next couple days or weeks, are holding their own camp. Chris Sale went there, so he's hosting everybody. So it's Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta, Matt Barnes, Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski, and Jay Groom, you know, throwing bullpens, throwing live BPs against college kids. It was actually a cool scene, you know, that these guys are trying to make the most of it. And luckily, you know, Sale and Crawford going to FGCU, they have that facility right there. But no, it was strange, you know. Obviously, you know, I think the only sign of spring training was that Johnny Miller was in his same room at the Spring Hill Suites, itching and rearing and ready to go. He's been there for a couple months, but other than that, a very different form of Fort Myers than we're used to this time of year. And the one that'll greet you on Sunday is also going to be pretty strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be a productive time down there for me, you know, because there are a lot of good prospects that are going to be there. I mean, the top three prospects in the organization, you know, Casas, Marcelo, and York are all going to be there. And there's going to be a ton of good prospects there. There's going to be new guys like, you know, David Hamilton, Alex Benelis. Am I saying that last name right?
Yeah, for once. Yeah.
So, I think, you know, those guys were from the Hunter Renfrow, Jackie Bradley trade. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of prospects there that are interesting. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, ability to take video of these guys and talk to them. And it should be interesting to see, you know, I mean, Chaim Bloom, I'm sure, is going to be around.
Yeah.
Alex Cora, I'm sure, is going to be around.
And not talking, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, somebody has to talk from the, you know, if it's Brian Abraham, the director of player development guys, I mean, you're not obviously going to ask them like questions you would ask Bloom.
Right.
But still, I mean, you know, there's got to be some people, and maybe they will talk. So, you know, I mean, there's going to be obviously interviews going on, and there's going to be interesting things about prospects and different things like that. But it's definitely going to be different. And I guess like the whole time you're going to be, you know, looking at your phone and seeing updates, are the actual major leaguers going to, you know, to be joining the camp at any time, you know? And I just don't think that that's going to happen, you know, in that time frame that I'm down there.
Yeah, we were just talking before we started rolling here that, you know, what are you packing for this trip? Because this, you know, 7-8-day trip could turn into a month, and we could be summoned there anytime. I mean, there was the way my trip ended, couple flight cancellations, and had to fly out of Palm Beach and stay with a friend on the other side of the state. Then basically, you know, while I was flying home from Palm Beach on Monday night, I was getting texts from people. Why don't you just stay down here and come to Fort Myers immediately? Because we think this is going to get going, which was probably way too optimistic of a view at that point. But if they struck a deal on Tuesday, I would have flown home Monday night, had to be probably back down there on Saturday. I wouldn't have gone Saturday because Carolina's playing Duke, but I would have gone Sunday. You know, I think it's just, we're kind of on call to go down whenever. I'm not saying that that's a, you know, that we're really complaining about that, because I know a lot of people would love to, and people always want to go to spring training, but it's for planning purposes, if you're a baseball writer, this is not a great time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say that too. It's like, oh, are we complaining about that? Well, technically, you know, like it really isn't easy for us either. Yeah. Like, you know, just because we're baseball writers and we have a fun job, it's like, you know, I've got to get somebody to watch my kid and my wife's pregnant, you know? Right. So it's like, it's not like, you know, it's
you have it worse than me. I can just kind of,
I mean, I'm not going to complain on Twitter and be like, oh, this stinks. You know, I have no idea what's going on and I'm on call, but you know, there are some, you know, bad parts of it here.
Right. For sure. And, you know, when spring training starts for the major leaguers, we will be down there. My golf clubs will be down there and the lakes of Fort Myers will be littered with, noodles that I'll be bringing down. I wanted to talk about something that I think is a little bit striking. You talked about, you know, the idea of will people be talking, Red Sox people be talking during that minor league camp, you know, whether it's Haim or Alex Cora. You know, clearly so far the entire organization top to bottom has been really hesitant to talk. You know, I requested Haim, Cora, and shockingly this didn't pan out. I requested John Henry for comment about some of this stuff. I reached out. Yeah, I don't know what he. I maybe just he hasn't seen the email yet.
That's actually very ambitious of you.
Yeah, for once. for once.
Oh, I'm just gonna try to get an interview with John Henry, and we should be doing that. We should be doing that.
That's right.
Like, but we should be asking
professionals, so to speak.
We don't really even think to because he only talks like once every century, but
right. It's been like twice since I've been on the beat, and that was 2018. So there's not a lot, you know, coming out. The players really haven't talked. I talked to Matt Barnes, you know, and I got him on the record while I was in Fort Myers, but generally, and I reached out to a few Red Sox players, some prominent ones, to talk about their thoughts on the CBA. You see these guys kind of popping off. You know, I don't know why I just said that because I'm way too old to use the phrase, but you know, you see these guys going crazy.
Is that a cool person's phrase popping
up? I believe it is. Yeah. I believe if we asked my college age sister, she would give me the thumbs up and then tell me again that I'm too old, even at 26. We see these guys going off and complaining. I mentioned Stripling and McCullers, but you know, there's guys everywhere that are, you know, really forceful in their criticism of Manfred and saying that this is a horrible situation, all that type of stuff. And no one on the Red Sox is really doing that. And at the same time, like Matt Barnes is the Players Association rep for the Red Sox. He was, you know, 2.5-3 hour drive away from Jupiter because he's down in Fort Myers. He didn't attend any of the meetings. I don't know exactly how they determine who would, who wouldn't. So I'm not like blaming him, just making an observation. And then John Henry, as well as not responding to my request, did not attend any of the meetings. It's totally unclear how involved he is. We know that he was in Liverpool last week, just over the weekend, while these meetings were really, you know, so heating up, I guess. Just to me, it seems like, you know, the people with the Red Sox that could be big players in this have decided not to. And the only guy, you know, they had all those players pose for that picture of solidarity after the cancellation of a few games was announced. And Michael Wacha was there from the Red Sox. He was in the picture, but there doesn't seem to be, you know, a lot of Red Sox involvement. I just have found it, you know, interesting. And even Dayton Moore with the Royals came out yesterday and either did a press conference or, you know, released a statement about how sad it was. And we just haven't seen that, which that might just be a nitpicky thing as someone who covers the team and wants content, or it could be, you know, kind of interesting that, you know, they don't seem to be as involved as other clubs. I don't know.
It could be a mandate, you know,
right.
I don't really want them to talk about it either. You know, yeah. Like from the higher ups, you know, I don't want, you know, Bloom to talk about certain things. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know that obviously, but yeah, that, and so it should be interesting to see. I mean, he's got the ability to talk about some things this coming week, you know, because there's a bunch of prospects down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you ask him about prospects during, you know, a regular time, he'll be glad to talk to you for hours about them.
Right.
And so, you know, this is his thing. He loves, you know, young players developing, you know, a system and stuff like that. So he should be watching workouts in there all the time. And, but yeah, I mean, will he answer questions? I have no idea.
The last thing I want to cover, a different topic that was, you know, pretty newsworthy yesterday and got a lot of run around here, even though, you know, I think some baseball fans have completely turned their brains off to the sport because of what's going on. But the Red Sox, at least, and Nesson, they're at least working on a new booth a very new booth. Obviously, you know, you can't replace Jerry Remy, but they need to have somebody in there to, you know, split the games. Dennis Eckersley appears like he's going to do about half the games with Dave O'Brien, and they're working on adding some other people for the other half, however that might be. I was about to say 81, but it could be, you know, 60. Very interesting report from Alex Reamer yesterday, WEEI, that the three guys the Red Sox are planning on adding to their booth are Kevin Youkilis, which we've known about for a while, Kevin Millar, which is a new name, but a guy who's a lot of media experience and makes a lot of sense, and of all people, Tony Maserati. You know, I've reported before, Lou Maloney was in the mix, but he, you know, talks didn't get very far with him. Will Middlebrooks, I guess, was in the mix for a while. It doesn't seem like that's going to come to fruition. And then, as I tweeted yesterday, Jake Peavy was another guy that they talked to a little bit. They considered a lot of names in this search. It seems like, you know, based on Reamer's reporting and kind of the general sense that of, you know, Maz's comments on air on 98.5 yesterday, that these are the three guys they're settling on. You know, Youkilis, Millar, whatever, the former players. Youkilis has the studio experience from last year. Millar's been on Intentional Talk for forever. But, I mean, if you had the betting odds on Tony Maserati joining the Red Sox booth in 2022, that's like when they have, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson for president at plus, like, 300,000. I mean, just think that are absolutely, you know, in a couple of years when The Rock is elected president, we can play this tape and send it to Old Takes Exposed. But, you know, Tony Mads, as he said on a show yesterday, he's been brutal on the Red Sox for, you know, decades. And so just an absolute shocker to me that they would be willing to have him in the booth. But I do give them a lot of credit there. As long as they don't, like, you know, censor him and tell him that he can't be himself, which is totally possible. I think it's a real, you know, bold move and a really one that should be commended if it happens.
Yeah, it shows some thick skin, obviously.
Right, which is something that the organization doesn't usually show.
I mean, you know, so I think he could be very good. I mean, there's a lot of hot takes, obviously, from 2 to 6. But when he does that baseball show from 6 to 7, it's one of the most engaging and interesting, you know, radio shows there is. And so I think, you know, he knows baseball. I mean, he was on this beat for a long time. And, you know, he's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he analyzes. I mean, we've always heard his analysis, you know, a day after, how he, and you know, analyzes stuff in real time. But I, you know, if there's anyone that a talk show host or, you know, person around here that can do it, I think he'll be good.
Yeah, I think so too. I also do think that, you know, we don't know the breakdown of games. We don't know if it's going to be 3-man booth, 2-man booth, whatever. I'm not expecting him on there for, you know, more than probably, you know, 15, 20, 30 games in a full 162 game season. But it'll be interesting to see how the Red Sox handle it. If he says something that, you know, ruffles feathers, if they are at a point, you know, 4 or 5 years ago where Dennis Eckersley, who, you know, let's face it, he can be critical. He can tell you how he feels, but at the end of the day, still pretty much a homer. You know, when you have somebody who's definitely not a homer in the booth, and if they have it on they have it on in the clubhouse, that might ruffle some feathers. And who knows if they're going to travel or not, but stuff with the team playing, it's just going to be really interesting to see that play out, I think.
Yeah, in terms of, like, you know, people have said to me yesterday, oh, like, he's been hard on ownership. I think he's been, you know, fair. He doesn't have any, like, I think his takes on the Red Sox are pretty, you know, fair. You know, and I think Felger and Maz, I mean, I heard Felger for a little bit a couple of days ago saying, you know, the Red Sox do spend money. A lot of the talk is, oh, ownership doesn't spend and commit and stuff like that. And
yeah, people, you know, want to find out, they can look up your payroll story from the other day.
Yeah. So, I mean, they criticize where areas that need to be criticized. And so they are actually fair on, you know, they don't say things, you know, that aren't true, you know, right, in terms of Henry. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see, but it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to him.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like I said, bold move by the Red Sox if it comes to fruition. An interesting little storyline if the season ever does get underway. So that's Chris Smith. I'm Chris Cotillo. We'll hopefully next time we talk have a little bit more. I mean, this was action-packed considering, you know, a little piece of baseball died the other day. But, you know, Chris Smith's heading down to Florida for minor league camp. Some good stories, as always, from Chris Smith, that their headlines will look like Mad Libs, but read to the end. You'll get something out of them.